Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to
know. I need to know. Brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. My buddy Joe Spiker and his great team. They will be happy to take care of all of your roofing needs, just like they did for me. That is right, Easton Roofing. Estimates are always free. Suggestions built on integrity. You can let Easton Roofing educate you about every possible roofing solution for your home or your business. It's not always a brand new roof that you need. They'll go through the entire process of what options are there for you. Sometimes if, hey, money's tight, a re-roofing may be in your future, but maybe not absolutely necessary right now. Easton Roofing will cover all the information about what your roofing needs are. It's not about Easton Roofing. It's about your specific roofing need. Angie's a Super Service Award winner. You can call Easton Roofing right now at 913-257-5426. See them online at eastonroofing.com. The entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. That is Easton Roofing. Let's start with a little news from the Cleveland Browns. Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, was made available today. We played earlier where he just did not seem to want to commit to the fact that Baker Mayfield was going to have a big game. But he was willing to talk about the imprints that former Chiefs and now Browns general manager John Dorsey made on this team.
Yeah, John Dorsey's a great man. A great family man, a really, really good personnel man, as both of our teams know. I have a ton of respect for him. Got to know him, obviously, a little bit a couple years back. But he's a excellent talent evaluator. And certainly a lot of the players on this team I recognize are guys that John brought in. So I think very highly of him.
Follow up, Coach. Did he call you Buddy Boy?
Yeah. Then why isn't he currently employed by one of those teams?
Right. Everyone likes this guy who's unemployed.
I think you know, Andy Reid had. I think he and Andy Reid just had different opinions on where things should go, and Andy Reid won. And then I think Cleveland's inept. And I think eventually Kevin Stefanski will find that out as well. Because, he'll come to some point where it's like, hey, this is what needs to happen. And it'll get screwed up by ownership. That's how that ends. Don't you agree?
Yeah, the Browns are going to be an interesting test case just to see how this plays out. Because, you know, things kind of looking kind of good, but there's no history of that franchise as it's existed since 99. Of having any sustained success. So even 12-5 overall, one win away from the conference championship game, but I'm not buying it yet.
Yeah. I do not believe the Cleveland Browns have very much of a chance of winning this. I'd never say no chance, but it's going to have to be real similar to the Steeler game, like +5 in the takeaways, and I don't see that happening. Andy Reid available today. I asked Reid if it was possible to win we talk about turnovers, most of them happen with the quarterbacks, right? I believe that Baker Mayfield's just not capable of playing the kind of game it takes to get to the point total it's going to take to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. I asked Reid if it's possible to win playoff games if the quarterback doesn't play well.
Well, I'd say yes. I mean, but I'd say that, about anybody. And then likewise, if you're not coaching well, you that likewise. So, normally you get to this point and normally everybody does a pretty decent job. So, and it's just great competition. That's the part I love about this. You get the kind of the cream of the crop and this league is so competitive anyways. And then you add into it, these teams that have just really excelled and you love that challenge, man. I mean, it's an awesome deal. It's hard to explain, but it's awesome.
All right. I think you can not coach well. Like, you can have a bad play call and then your quarterback bail out, run, scramble, get you out of it, do that. I mean, can you just coach awfully and win a playoff game? No. Can you have it not your best day? Can you have kind of a bad day and get away with it? Yeah. I mean, guys go out and make plays. Pick sixes, punt returns for touchdowns, can overcome some mistakes of yours that maybe, you know, you should have had a first down, instead you're punting, right? I do not believe that you can win a playoff game with your quarterback playing like crap. Now, you could say, like, well, he didn't play so good for like three quarters, but man, was he hot in the fourth quarter. Four quarters of bad football by your quarterback, you can't win.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are last week, they were given everything last week, and they still only won by, what, 11 or 12? Because,
Well, and their quarterback, didn't know where you're going there, but and their quarterback had three touchdowns and no interceptions. Yeah. He still had to play well.
Yeah, he still had to play well, given everything. That's right. That's where I was going. Given everything that was given to them, he still had to make some big plays for them to win, or else they wouldn't have won. If they'd gotten five turnovers and Baker Mayfield played like crap, they might have lost that game.
You know, I made the comment, and I didn't mean to be flippant, but Chase called earlier and said, I'm worried about the stop and the run, right? That's the thing about the Chiefs. And I'm like, you know, that's a very 1991 view of the game.
Right.
Like, it's not going to come down to the run. Like, we've pointed out time and time again, the Tennessee Titans beat the Baltimore Ravens, and Derrick Henry ultimately would run for 200 yards. But to get to 14-0, he had two carries for 7 yards.
Yeah.
Right? In last year's game when they upset it. Yes, at the end of the day, they ran when they were winning, but they got up by big plays in the passing game. And if the Browns are going to beat the Chiefs, Baker Mayfield is going to have to make big plays. And frankly, I don't think they're there. Jarvis Landry is the epitome of a possession receiver. Like, Jarvis Landry's not getting you 6 for 212 and 3 touchdowns. That day doesn't exist in his world. Now,
no
16,
game
16 for 112 and 7 first downs with 1 touchdown? Yeah, that day exists. But he's not getting you for big plays over the top. So, if the Browns get him, yes, the running game will feature prominently. There will have to have been a couple of big plays. But Baker Mayfield will have to have made some big-time throws. And if he can't make those throws, they can't win.
No.
And by the way, it's not just a matter – it's not darts. Okay, there's a defense out there. Steve Spagnuolo will largely, and of course the Chiefs' defensive players, will largely impact how Baker Mayfield plays. Right? They're going to have a big say in it. Yep. So I don't know. Andy is always like, well, where are you going with this? Are you trying to take this and twist it around? So let me make sure. Like, I think he was worried that I was like, he didn't want to be committed to, we're all sitting here dependent on Patrick, right? If Patrick's not good, then we lose. No, I was actually trying to say that if Baker's not good, they're going to lose against you. But I knew if I put the Browns in, then he'd be like, oh, they're a great team, well coached. So I had to leave it just generic. And then I think he took it as, is he fishing around for, like, we can only win if Mahomes has a big day? No, I think the Chiefs can win with Mahomes having a Falcons-like day against the Browns. But I don't think the Browns can win unless Baker Mayfield plays one of his best games as a pro.
Yeah, 205 yards, 1-1 is not going to get it done. That's going to result in about a 17-point Cleveland loss.
Yeah, they will lose. They will lose. Tyreek Hill, I thought this one was interesting about plays, because I was sitting there going, yeah, God, I wonder what it is. He was asked, I forgot, I think it was Matt Derrick, who asked him this one, what plays, were there any plays he remembers that he didn't make during this past season?
Definitely the Denver Bronco play, man. The catch that wasn't ruled a catch. So, yeah, that play, like, always sticks out, to me the most, because I'm always preaching, judge the ball correctly when it's in the air. So I feel like I could have done a better job judging the ball. I just try to make a crazy catch, a crazy acrobatic catch, trying to get on SportsCenter top 10, So just make the catch, man, and just, come down with the play, and I would have had the record of 16 touchdowns. That like hunts me like every night, man. I'm like, man, I wish I would have caught it. So yeah, that one play right there.
I like immediately. Oh yeah, the Bronco one. I had forgotten about that. When he brought it up, I'm like, oh yeah, that is the one. And then the fact that that's what ended up costing him the record. The Chiefs record.
As great a season as he had, he's still like, that one.
Yeah.
The one I didn't get.
Man, that was number 16. So, by the way, what did we learn there? Don't tell me players aren't thinking about records.
Yeah. Because everyone else had completely forgotten about it, and he was like, no, that one sits on my chest a little bit.
Do you think Mahomes knows the records?
Yes.
But knows him and is looking to knock him off, right? Because he says, well, you see it on social media, right? So he sees him like, oh, Mahomes is this far. Mahomes is, you know, Mahomes got this many. He sees those things on social media. But do you think he's actively like, oh, man, you know, do you think he was like, oh, this sucks, I didn't get to 40 touchdowns?
Maybe sucks. This sucks might be maybe an overreaction to it, but I think all the great ones are aware of where the numbers are. I think he knows where what he's close to.
Yeah.
One thing I think some people tell him, but I think anyone who kind of counts off where they were, you know, the numbers on his hands, anyone who's that aware of the numbers game of sport and rankings is well aware how close he is to history.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, Travis Kelce talking today about that Patrick Mahomes locks in the playoffs. He was asked, you know, what tells him, what does he see that lets him know Patrick Mahomes is locked in?
It's the small conversations of making sure that everybody is aware, making sure that everybody's on the same page. You can tell that, you know, he's been doing his homework for the past week and a half. Just talking to him understanding what every single team that we could possibly face is doing defensively. And then sure enough, as soon as we found out on Sunday who we were playing, you know, he was right there. I had a whole notebook ready for the Cleveland Browns. And I think right now we're just we're in the process of figuring out the game plan. And I think, like I said, what Pat does the best is communicate exactly what he's seeing and, you know, how he feels we need to attack the defense. And all those conversations, you know, are extremely relevant during the game.
Mahomes would go on to say that he basically took all four possible opponents and watched four or five games of each one. That's what he did during the bye week.
That's something, man. When the most talented guy in the position, in the sport, at the most important position, works the way he does and is prepared the way he is, I mean, there is no limit to what he can do.
No. I mean, that's a guy who's a ruthless competitor. He wants to know, I've got some time to do something, do anything. I'm going to do something to get better. And that is impressive. I asked Mahomes how much more confident, you know, having been there. Like, it's one thing to think you can do it. It's another thing to have done it. They have done it now. How much more confident are they this year knowing they've already done it?
Yeah, I mean, you understand what it takes. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's not easy. You know, you have to put in a lot of work, but you understand that you can do it. And so just kind of keep it in perspective, going out there, having fun, enjoying it, playing to the best of our ability, and then letting things handle itself. And so we have a lot of veteran guys on this team now that have been through it. And so we're going to go out there with the mentality of not trying to get in those deficits again, but just try to find a way to win a football game and play the right way.
Well, I think we're going to find out, are they hungry? I think they are. I think they are hungry for the back-to-back. I think this is a team that recognizes that it wasn't like, oh, my God. While the city was like, wow, 50 years, like I can die happy now. The team was like, okay, that's one. Now let's go be Patriot-esque.
Yeah.
And they've got that drive. Like, I don't think there's a letdown. So now they know they can do it. They know what it takes. If they're down 10 points, they're not going to fold the tent. They've come back. If they're down 24 points, they don't fold the tent. They've come back from that. They've done literally everything you could do. So, you know, as long as the motivation's there and the talent, which the talent is there, the game plan, ball bounces, you know, at least fairly, then they've got a great chance to be winning back-to-back championships. I can't wait. I want them to win back-to-back so we can talk about a three-peat. Because yes. No one's won three NFL championships in a row since the Packers, yep, with Vince Lombardi, starting with the year before the Super Bowl, mm-hmm, and then the first 2 years of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The Super Bowl was actually their third NFL championship. So in the Super Bowl era, no one's ever done that. A lot of work to be done. But that'll be something, to me, that will actually, if they can get this one, that becomes the motivation. Do something that no one has done in the Super Bowl era. That'll motivate itself. So this one is the one that I think they got to try to get to. All right, we'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Seth Kaiser from The Athletic, get his thoughts on this Chiefs-Browns matchup that's coming next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
What's with your sour look?
This is my face.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's a pastor who likes the passing game.
an attorney who enjoys play action more than class action. And he loves to watch Chiefs game tape for hours and hours and hours. He's Seth Kaiser of The Athletic on the program.
Let's talk some Chiefs football. Seth Kaiser, brought to you by my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks and Relax. That's what happens after you call All Weather Decks. You get to relax no matter what you want for your outdoor living space. Nobody builds it better than All Weather Decks. That's why they're a 22-time winner of the Angie's List Super Service Award. Probably helped one of your neighbors. Check out the map link on their website at allweatherdecks.net. You can see where they've done jobs all over the metro. They're only about 5 weeks away from starting your job. Get them to work right now. That means they're working when it's cold. Then when it's warm, your project's all done. Decks, patios, screened-in porches, pergolas, fire pits, you name it, they build it and build it better than anybody else. Call 913-206-1974 or go online to allweatherdecks.net. Don't let a great outdoor season go by without having that great outdoor living space. Let's talk to Seth Kaiser. He joins us right now on our T-Mobile guest line. Seth, how are you, sir?
I am doing very, very well. How about yourself?
Doing great. Looking forward to some Chiefs football and looking forward to the Cleveland Browns coming to town. You know what I love? The Browns had a very impressive win. That was a product of being plus five in the takeaways. And now everybody in Cleveland is talking about how talented the team is. And that, to me, smells like a team that's about ready to get punched right in the face. How's it smell to you?
You know, they've got a solid team. They deserve to make the playoffs. They earn their way in with wins. They beat the Steelers. I'm saying all the right things right now. It's going to be a really, really interesting game. I'm actually, you know, I wrote for The Athletic, you know, kind of an Any Given Sunday thing, but it's setting up for a really good narrative, I think. Because, you know, all the talk for the Chiefs has been, you know, they didn't win games by enough down the stretch, et cetera, et cetera. And now there's an opportunity for, you know, the Browns, they just won a game by quite a bit and all that fun stuff. There's an opportunity to really do some interesting stuff here in terms of setting a new narrative. And I'm here for it. And it's also the opportunity for the Chiefs to become a villain to another fan base.
Yes, and I think this is where the Chiefs do start to become a fan base, because now they're not the little darling with the cute young quarterback that's making his name. Now they're the bully that's got the ring that's now punching people in the face with that ring, right? Like that's the dynamic will shift with this year, as it's like, okay, I'm tired of the Chiefs always winning. They got to win, right? But that'll be the change in the dynamic if it indeed does take place. And I keep saying, listen, I don't think that you can win a playoff game against Patrick Mahomes unless you have a big game from your quarterback. So let me start there. I'm going to let you hear what Kevin Stefanski said here in a second. Get number one ready, Jed, if you would. But do you agree that there's no way for the Browns to win unless Baker Mayfield has like a near career day?
Absolutely. I mean, the Chiefs have shown that you can't beat the Chiefs absent them having a catastrophic letdown. You can't beat them just running the ball. Either a historic rushing output day, right? Like, I mean, incredibly historic, like 350 yards, or a catastrophic failure by the Chiefs offense. Generally speaking, when the Chiefs have lost, it's been because the other team has thrown the ball very well and put up points.
Let's hear. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's exactly the direction I'm going. Here is Kevin Stefanski. When I asked him today, basically I said, look, Baker Mayfield, 4 touchdowns, 4 INTs in your 5 losses, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions in your 11 wins, or now 12 wins. It's actually 25-4 if you throw in the Steeler game. That ratio starts to look a lot better. And the fact that the Chiefs, no one has beaten the Chiefs unless they've gotten to 31 points, right? That's one of the big things. I asked Stefanski if he thought Baker Mayfield had to have a good game for his team to win.
Yeah, to win this game, our team has to play well. I think to your stat, I believe the turnover margin is a huge deal in the playoffs, in the regular season, really at all times. So we have to have elite ball security on offense, and then we got to go take it away on defense. That's a huge part of who we are. It's a huge part of how we've won this year, is winning that turnover battle.
Can you do that without Mayfield having a big day?
Can you? Yeah, I mean, you can win the turn. Yes, well, you know, we're looking to win the turnover battle and be productive on offense. And Baker's, as you know, I mean, it's a quarterback, so he's a huge part of that. But the focus is really the production of the entire unit.
Now, when I listen back to it, I give him more credit because he did at least say the quarterback's a huge part of that. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I also heard was like, I don't know, we just got to win the turnover battle. You know, I heard a guy kind of like not wanting to put it all on his quarterback, like either not wanting Baker Mayfield to hear some cut where it's like, you got to play well because he's worried that Baker Mayfield will be like, oh, God, all the pressure's on me. Or I thought about it. It's like maybe Baker Mayfield was trying to play every game like that. And so part of the success is he's counseled him into the ways of Alex Smith. And that is, look, right. I don't need you to go win the game. Just don't lose it. Go manage it. Because he had a very Alex Smith-like season this year. Very, very good season. He's number 10 overall in QBR, which means he's, you know, 10th best quarterback in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. So I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's capable of having a monster day. I just think it's unlikely to happen against Steve Spagnuolo defense with the personnel that the Chiefs have, the secondary that they have. I just don't see where he could do it. Now, first of all, do you hear the same thing from Stefanski that I do?
I think you've got a coach in part trying to protect his player and make sure not to set any sort of narratives. It was a very Andy Reid-like answer, right? Just you don't give anything away. You try to stick with the things. Oh, the turnover battle will be huge. Quarterback's a big part of that. And then just kind of sticking to generalities. You don't say, well, yeah, he's got to play really well because Patrick Mahomes is a fire-breathing dragon. You try to avoid things like that. You avoid bulletin board material. I think, to me, it really does underestimate the odds that Mayfield will need to have a really good game because to win the turnover battle, that's obviously a separate issue. But even winning the turnover battle, unless you do it by a huge margin, isn't necessarily going to be enough. And we saw that, say, when the Dolphins played the Chiefs, who are a very talented team, just as talented as the Browns. And Tua had an okay game, but not a great one. And even with the Chiefs losing the turnover battle, I think it was 4-1, the Dolphins still couldn't beat them. And so, you can win the turnover battle against the Chiefs, and it just doesn't – the same rules don't apply to them as apply to other teams. And that's something that I think he tiptoed around there pretty well.
Yeah, I just, to me, and he kind of like wanted to, I thought there for a second was going to joust with him. He's like, does the quarterback have to play well to win the turnover battle? Like, well, try and say no. Try and say that a quarterback can play really poorly and you win the turnover battle. Because like, or maybe we're stuck on the definition of the word poorly. Because I think when a quarterback plays poorly, it goes disastrously wrong. Like Ben Roethlisberger throwing 4 picks. That's playing poorly. It was a disaster. You can't win that way.
Right. And that's that difference maybe between playing poorly and playing not well. Like you said, we might be hung up on definitions there. And maybe he really does believe that all they need from Mayfield is that he doesn't play badly. And that'll still be enough. I can just say I can't think of a lot of games that the Chiefs have lost where the opposing quarterback was just kind of, eh. You know, I mean, like if you look at this year, the one real loss they had, and they went 14-2, but obviously, playing the Chargers in Week 17, that wasn't really a real game. The one game they lost, Derek Carr played probably the best game of his life. And then Carr actually played really well the second time they played too, and it wasn't enough. And if you look at the games that they've lost previously, the AFC Championship to the Patriots, everyone made such a big deal that they ran the ball for, quite a few yards. Brady threw for like 350, and he was the one that was dicing them up for the fourth quarter in overtime. Kind of now legendary matchup against the Rams back in 2018. Jared Goff had a heck of a day that day. Russ Wilson when the Seahawks beat them in 2018. Even Phil Rivers had to have some fourth quarter heroics to beat them in 2018. I can't remember a game where the quarterback was pretty meh and it didn't matter and the Chiefs lost outside of when, Patrick Mahomes was playing on one leg against the Colts, right? Your quarterback has to play well. And the main reason for that is, generally speaking, you've got to score 30 points to beat the Chiefs. And it's hard to score 30 points unless your quarterback is playing really well.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And I hear unless he's just – you know, trying to throw the Chiefs off the scent, thinking, okay, you know, I know the Chiefs personnel folks or the coaching staff, somebody's going to be listening to this, and they're going to try to see if they can get anything out of my game plan. But, I mean, to me, I heard a guy that is just going to try to jam the run, right? Like, I don't think that he's going to come out and go bombs away to Renfro and Ruggs the way the Raiders did. You know, I don't think he's got that within him. I think he's going to play the way he's played all year, and the way he's played all year is a great way to play to win 10 games and sell season tickets, but not win a championship.
I would agree with that overall. I think if you add Odell, like a healthy Odell, back into that offense, I think you're talking about probably a different story. The big thing, you need big plays to beat the Chiefs, generally speaking. All of this is absent some kind of really Herculean effort by your defense, or, you know, like a Falcon-esque, the defense plays really well, and the Chiefs just kind of shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly. Absent that, you need to score 30. You need to have big plays. You need to move the ball. And in the modern NFL, that's almost always going to come from the passing game. Now, because of Cleveland's incredible talent at running back, they can get some big plays. You know, Nick Chubb is an 80-yard threat anytime he touches the ball. He's unbelievable, probably the best runner in the league. But it's tough to count on that consistently, to have big plays and to put up a lot of points. And so I think they're probably going to look to stick with what brought them here. If I were them, I would really be leaning on the passing game, but more so the passing game, looking to try to get Chubb and Hunt involved, see if they can take advantage of the Chiefs linebackers, see if they can get some yards after catch, pick up some cheap big plays with one missed tackle, that sort of thing. But it certainly seems like they sound like, you know, sticking with what brought them here. And I guess at this point, you know, why wouldn't you? I think they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now.
I see him, and we're talking to Seth Kaiser from The Athletic and, of course, his great Chief of the North newsletter. I see him coming out in the first drive, a lot of throws. Right, expecting the Chiefs to pack the box, a lot of play action, quarterback bootlegs, throw their way down the field, get 3 or 7 on the first drive. Now, whether that's catching, you know, whether the Chiefs have already made it 7-0 or not, and then to settle back into the run, because the bootlegs don't work without the run, right? I think it'll work initially because they've run well enough, but then he's going to want to get back to the run. And at that point, you know, I think the Chiefs, when you've got a team that you know, just is insistent upon running, the Chiefs have done a pretty good job against those teams. They certainly did in the playoffs last year against
right.
the Titans. I mean, they didn't right. have a problem there. Even the 49ers.
Yep. And the 49ers had some success, but it was more so with their sweeps and side-to-side runs. Straight up the gut was not a consistently successful thing for them. And that's the key with the run game. It's a matter of consistency. A bad run defense, all you got to do is be good enough to stop them a couple times on early downs, because most teams aren't willing to run on 2nd and 11 or 2nd and 10, right? So all you need is the one stop or a couple plays in a row that only gain 2 yards. And that can be done even if you're a mediocre run defense. And the Chiefs have some good run defenders. It just hasn't all come together completely in the interior. And Cleveland does do running the ball best. And so your point to, they're probably going to try to come out and throw the ball quite a bit early. That wouldn't surprise me at all, because they're going to want to use tendency breakers. But it's really hard to formulate an entire game plan around what you're generally not doing, especially if, and I think Mayfield's a good quarterback, but he's also, I mean, it was only at the beginning of this very season that there was a lot of talk about Baker Mayfield and whether or not he was the guy. And there's a reason for that, because he's not super consistent. And I would argue that he hasn't necessarily shown that he's become this guy that can go bombs away consistently for a full game as of late. There were some special circumstances in both of their last 2 wins. And so I think that's probably a good anticipated game script for them, to try to, you know, throw the ball around early. And depending on what kind of success they have, maybe they do try to stick with it. Generally speaking, the Chiefs defense, once they've kind of got a bead on what a team's trying to do, have done pretty well stopping that, and teams need to continue to counter. And if they try to run the ball, the 2-up problems you run into, like you said, the Chiefs have been just good enough against the run that's not really a consistent way to put up points. And then you end up punting or, you know, maybe settling for 3, et cetera. But the other problem, of course, you know, to flip to the other side of the ball, is unless you catch Mahomes on an off day, which there's been like 2 of those his whole career, or you have an awesome defensive game plan and really good guys up front and on the back end, the running the ball is just not going to do it unless you do it in a way that pretty much no one has historically. So it just, you can't base it all around that. So I think, as much as he didn't want to say it, Mayfield does have to carry a much bigger burden this game than he normally would. And the same will be true if they, you know, regardless of what team they face in the AFC Championship game. That's what happens when you start facing better and better offenses.
Yeah, I almost think that, you know, maybe, you know, he's going to do exactly the opposite. I mean, the question is, can Baker Mayfield have a 400-4-0 day? Do you think he's good enough to do that?
I think any quarterback in the NFL, for the most part, is good enough to have a day like that. You know, in the theoretical, in the practical, I mean, I know he shredded the Dallas defense earlier this year. Chiefs pass defense is quite a bit better than Dallas's pass defense. Right. In particular, something you and I've talked about in recent weeks, the secondary has really come together in terms of especially the cornerback group, with Snead coming back and continuing to play at a high level. Breland's playing well. Tre'Davious Ward's playing better than he was at the beginning of the year. They've got a good group there, even if Fenton can't go. And so they're just not as easy a team to beat. They're pretty well coached, and they don't have a big play threat there. So, I mean, could he? Sure. But I'm trying to remember, there just haven't been a lot of quarterbacks that have done that, the Spagnuolo's defense. And it's hard to believe without a specific type of weapons. Like you gave the example, you know, with the Raiders. They were built to stress the Chiefs' defense in terms of speed, and I just don't see that same type of weaponry with the Browns. They're a little more of guys like Landry and Hooper, kind of intermediate threats. I just don't see Higgins threatening over the top in the same way. I mean, we'll find out. Anything can happen. That's the beauty of the playoffs. But I don't see him doing, you know, like you said, a 404 day with no picks. That's just not historically who he's been.
And I don't see the day where. I mean, like you said, maybe Patrick Mahomes is off. He was off against Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of his worst days, just missing some throws and everything. So I guess, you know, theoretically you could be like, well, I don't know, maybe he's bored, maybe he's tired, maybe he's worn down because the last time he played he didn't play that great. I just don't expect that to be the case here in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's any reason to think the Cleveland Browns defense is going to do anything but get shredded, right? Like, what about Cleveland? Unless you want to say, well, Myles Garrett, boy, they can't block him. I'm sorry. Myles Garrett's good, you know, very good. But Myles Garrett is not Aaron Donald, right? He's light years away from Aaron Donald. Very good player. You'll have to account for him. But you chip a little bit. Remmers should be playing. You know, he's practicing. He's full-going practice, so I assume he's going to play and play well. I don't see what – and I think their secondary sucks. You know, Ward is good.
They,
he was on the COVID list. You know, I don't see where the Chiefs don't get to 30 in this matchup.
Well, and one thing that got lost in the wild card round because of all those turnovers is that Ben Roethlisberger, and sure, he did it in like 60 throws. He threw for 500 yards on the Browns. And even with 60 throws, there is no reason why the current iteration of Ben Roethlisberger should be throwing for 500 yards on you. I mean, this is the same Big Ben that has looked absolutely washed down the stretch in Pittsburgh. His arm just isn't the same, and everyone can see it. Their secondary, it's not great. Their safeties are better suited for more of a strong safety role, at least based on what they've showed. And this is all with the caveat that anything can happen at the NFL level. But they just lack the speed on the back end. Now, at the same, they're one of the worst pass defenses that the Chiefs have faced all year. And you never know. And I think the Falcons game has Chiefs fans a little bit spooked because everyone really thought that they were going to run the Falcons out of the building. It just didn't happen. I guess for me, I'm more on the side of what history has shown us is most likely. And generally speaking, Patrick Mahomes shreds bad pass defenses. And that's certainly what the Browns have been. And while Garrett's a stud, it's one pass rusher, which historically the Chiefs have done pretty well when you're dealing with one guy as opposed to two or three Pro Bowl level guys.
Yeah, I think they'll know where he is. You know, you're not going to see him. They're not going to feel a need. Andy Reid just doesn't do it, where they were way over shifting over there to put two guys on Garrett, so they started dropping him, and then they were getting pressure off the backside. The Chiefs aren't going to do that. You know, again, if the recipe that I see, and I know you wrote about it in the Athletic, The recipe that I see is almost like, I'll equate it for old school basketball fans, what Larry Brown did with the 1988 Kansas Jayhawks. They were playing a run-and-gun Oklahoma team. Everybody said they have to slow it down, and instead they went out there and ran right back at them. And I think he looked at it and said, if I try to slow it down, that's where they get their runouts. I've got to make it frenetic and go up and down. I think actually the way that Cleveland would have to approach this is they need to come out firing. They need to come out firing and then just hope that there's some bad bounces for the Chiefs that create some turnovers to where they can get out in front, get the points on the board, get out in front, and then lean on the run later in the game. But the Raiders never quit firing. The one team that actually beat them just never quit firing. And I wouldn't have told you Derek Carr could fire all day, but he did. And I think the bottom line is you go, look, if my quarterback gets it done, then great. I tip my, you know, then I get a win. If not, I tip my cap, they're better, and we keep trying to put this thing together. I don't see where their defense, I don't see where the offensive game plan for Stefanski can be anything other than I've got to get a lot of points. And what I heard from him today, again, I don't, you know, he knows that everybody's listening, so I don't think he's, you know, giving us the game plan. He just seemed to be not willing to talk about, like, hey, it's playoff time and I got to go for it. It sounded like, I mean, I think he was rewarded for playing regular season football last week because the Steelers sucked. And the odds that two teams are going to suck right in front of you in the playoffs, not good.
They're not terrific. And it's worth noting that despite five turnovers by the Steelers, and that's an unbelievable number of turnovers, especially, I mean, when you have turnovers that directly lead to points, you know, like the first play of the game there, that's the most damaging play in football because it means you're losing a possession that you could put a point, and you are handing them 6 points. It's the worst possible outcome that can occur on a play. And despite that, despite five turnovers, there's a reason why everyone freaked out when Mike Tomlin decided to punt the ball on 4th and 2. Because they were getting back in the game. And the reason for that was because the Browns defense couldn't stop Ben Roethlisberger. And eventually the offense cooled off a little bit. And so it's not as though that game, they won it pretty comfortably. But there were moments there where that could have easily shifted. And there's a whole different narrative to be spun there had that been called differently than what Tomlin did. The Steelers did not play well. And honestly, the fact that they even sort of kind of got back in the game for even a little bit is a little bit of an indictment on Cleveland's defense. I would say, you know, people want to say, well, yeah, get ahead, control the clock. The problem with the Chiefs, and you and I have talked about this, is let's say we'll use the example of the Houston game from last year. Now, obviously, it was only the second quarter. But what happened there, and it was aided by Bill O'Brien with the fake punt and a turnover, but the Chiefs' drives, like, say, the first touchdown they scored in that game, it was like 3 plays. And the Chiefs are very capable of doing that. So if you try to play ball control in the second half, you have to trust your defense to either force the Chiefs into long drives or to hold them to 3 and outs. And I don't know if the Browns can do that. It's not just on their running game. And the thing is, unless you're winning by like 21 points, you're still going to have 4 or 5 possessions in the second half at the very least, and it's not really a safe thing to just try to sit on that lead because if the Chiefs just score a couple times, suddenly the game looks very different. So I agree, you can't just rely on the run game, and that's something you and I have talked about repeatedly. It's just not enough, barring the Chiefs having a catastrophic failure in their own right, and then it's on the catastrophic failure, not your run game, that did the damage.
We're talking with Seth Kaiser from The Athletic. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this. Who you got, Baltimore or Buffalo? Who wins that one?
I think Buffalo wins that one. I think it's going to be set up for the Chiefs to play a pair of really passionate fan bases 2 weeks in a row because I do think they advance.
Okay, and so give me the score. Chiefs by what? That's number two.
I've got a feeling that there's been a lot of talk over the last few weeks about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win by a couple of touchdowns.
Okay, by 2 TDs. I'll take that. What's your Super Bowl looking like right now? Who do you got beating who?
I'm going chalk on this. I'm being very boring. I think it's going to be Chiefs over Packers in an absolutely unbelievable game.
It would be a beautiful game to watch. Two great uniforms, that's for damn sure. All right, and finally, have you ever had a moment in your life where you were in the in a public restroom and the toilet paper rolled out from under the stall on you?
I have not. That sounds okay. Horrifying.
Yeah, it happened to me yesterday. Just so you know, it happened to me yesterday. Yep, I think I'm the only one. I think I'm the only one. So
that is some terrible luck right there. That's five turnovers against Cleveland luck right there.
Well put, Seth.
Thank you.
I love it. Hey, great stuff as always. We encourage everybody to read Seth's great work at The Athletic. Also, his Chief of the North newsletter is absolutely fantastic. Make sure you subscribe and get it. You'll love it if you're a Chiefs fan, or get it as a gift for a Chiefs fan out there. Seth, appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend. Stay healthy.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right, Seth Kaiser. We'll take a break, come back, give you the kicker. It's funny how people have something and they wish for something else, and then they wish for what they had. That happened today in the NBA. We'll talk about it next here in the program.
The Program with Seren Petro.
All right, man, you're the best. Thank you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the Program.
But first, the Jazz into the hour answer. How many head coaches have won at least one postseason game for the Browns? The answer is 6. Paul Brown, Blanton Collier, Marty Schottenheimer, Kevin Stefanski. I guess he gets credit for that one. Bud Carson and Bill Belichick.
6 guys. Not bad.
But only 3 of them have more than one.
Yeah. Marty, Paul Brown.
And Blanton Collier.
Blanton Collier. great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Get it today. Go to jazzkitchen.com on your way home. Today, we saw James Harden reunite with Kevin Durant. Isn't it funny when he was a member of the Thunder and he was the third option right behind Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, he had to get the hell out of Dodge because he wanted to be the man. Mm-hmm. And then once he got to be the man, he wanted to immediately get back with Kevin Durant and be the second option. Am I the only one that finds the irony in this? Wanted out to get paid, which, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, hey, I want to get paid. Okay, now I got the check. Okay, now take some pressure off me.
Yep.
It's the ultimate. You want to talk about the un-Jordan approach. This is the most un-Jordan thing ever. Like, don't ever gripe about LeBron James. James Harden, poster child of un-Jordan-ness. The un-Jordan. That is James Harden.